That's okay, I'm good. Okay, today's daf is avodah zarah, daf chav tes. We left off. Well, we said we're going to pick up from daf chav tes of Aleph, about 5 lines from the top. Yesterday we were going through over an amud's worth of refuos that Chazal suggests for various machalos, and we went through yesterday the basic ideas suggested by the Achronim in how to deal with the refuos of Chazal. The one thing that Kuli Alma Lo Pligi is that we should not try it at home. The question is, why should we not try it at home? Either because conditions changed, and although these refuos work, they only work during in certain locations, with certain conditions, with certain whether it be conditions relating to the temperature or to the altitude or to whatever it was, they only worked under those conditions. That's one approach. The other approach is that no, it works under all conditions. It's just that we don't have enough detail in terms of how to implement all of these refuos, and therefore they can work if we knew what they were talking about, but we're unable to interpret fully what they're talking about. And of course, the third approach, which is the controversial one in today's day and age, is the approach that perhaps Chazal were just using the medicine of their time, and they told us the best medical knowledge of their time, but the medical knowledge of our time is much, much better, and therefore why would we use ancient medicine when we have much better medicine to rely on? Okay, but those are Kuli Amlo Pligi, as Rav Ram Ben Aramim writes, that if a person tries the refus of Chazal, Damav Barosho, he's taking his life into his hands, it's not a good thing. We're just going to finish off a few more basic refuos, nothing as complicated as yesterday, starting with Tanu Rabbanan on the fifth line in Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Says the Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Hamekiz Dam, if someone does bloodletting, Lo Yochal Chagvash, he shouldn't eat the four things that are Rashi Tevos Ches Gimel Beis Shin. What are they? Lo Chalav, Lo Gvina, Lo Betzelim, Velo Shechalim. Right, a person shouldn't eat milk or cheese or onions or cress. Im achal amra baye nicer viyasa dechale, and if he does eat one of those things after having done bloodletting, so he should bring a reviyas of vinegar, a reviyas of dechamer, and a reviyas of wine, v'niyar v'vinu b'hadei adadi v'nishti, and he should mix the reviyas of vinegar and the reviyas of wine together with each other, and he should drink it. V'chi mefane, but then when he goes to the bathroom after having that, lo mefane el mizrach ha-shalir, he should only go to the bathroom on the eastern side of the city, mishum dekasha recha, because the smell of his going to the bathroom after consuming this is going to be extremely potent, and if he goes on any other side of the city, the breeze could bring it into the city, could bring the smell into the city, and that would be very bad and damaging for the people of the city. So you go to the mizrach ha-shalir, where the wind is not going to blow it in. If you look at Rashi, lo yifne el mizrach ha-shalir, sheruach Mizrachis ain't a chazaka, because the assumption is that the eastern wind is a very weak wind. It's not a strong wind. Kitan milo yachbar, like the Gemara says in the second parak of Maseches Basra, ain't osin borsiki el mizrach ha-shalir. One of the more smelly professions is borsiki, someone who's a tanner. So if you're going to make a tanning place where they tan hides, and it's a very smelly thing, you should only do it b'mizrach ha-shalir, because that way the winds are not going to blow the horrible smells, the foul odor, into the city. Borsiki, we know, is one of the smellier professions from that Gemara, and also from the Gemara that tells us that in several places, that Eif Shaliolam, also Gemara Babasra, in the end of the first parak, that Eif Shaliolam below Bosom or below Borsiki, that the world can't exist without people who do every profession. Some people are perfumers and get to smell delicious smells every day, all day. Others are Borsiki and have to deal with horrendous smells every day. The world needs both. But Ashrei mi she'umnaso bosem va'oilol mi she'umnaso borsiki. Fortunate is the one who gets to smell good things all day, and unfortunate is the one who has to. I mean, everyone has their lot in life, but ideally, one should strive for things that are much more pleasant. But even though we know that everyone is necessary, we need all different kinds of professions in order to keep the world running. But again, that Gemara highlights that borsiki is the most foul smelling of all the possible professions, and that's why it's only the mizrach ha-shalir, similar to this situation over here, where the person has to go to the bathroom, which should dafka be l'mizrach ha-shalir. Amar b'shur ben Levi, malin unkeli b'shabbos. You're allowed to straighten out an unkeli or avankeli on Shabbos. So my avankeli, what is an avankeli? Amar Rabbi Abba, istumcha deliba. It's the istumcha of the heart. What's an istumcha? So Rashi says, dofne basar shetachas alev, some flesh walls underneath the heart, some muscle that apparently keeps the heart in place or holds the heart up. So if that muscle gets out of place, that piece of flesh is dislodged in some way, so you're allowed to fix that on Shabbos. Maya susa, how do you fix it? What's the medication that a person takes? Maisi kumuno karvaya, he takes a ladle of cumin, vininaya and some mint, vadgada and some other type of min, vitsesari and something else, vavdasa and some type of grass, and he mixes those all together. Liliba bechamra, now if he's taking it for a heart ailment, he mixes all those things with wine. Vesimanayach, and the way to remember for which ailment you mix it with wine is a pasuk in Tehillim, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, that yayin causes the heart to be happy. So you see an association with wine and the heart. Lerucha bimaya, if he's taking it for an issue of ruach, for an issue of a breathing issue, so then he should mix it with water. V'simenayich v'ruach elukim rachefes al pnei amayim. And the simen to remember it, and obviously it's just a simen, it's just an easy way to remember it, it's not actually the Torah telling you the refuah, but it's a way to remember it, is that ruach elukim, when we're talking about wind, it's rachefes al pnei amayim, it's with mayim, it's associated with water. So you mix these items with water, and that will help for an issue of ruach. Lekuda, for childbirth, b'shichri, you mix it with beer. V'simenayich v'kada al shichma. And the simen to remember it is the pasuk v'kada al shichma, which is talking about a woman, so it's about childbirth, and al shichma, shichma, similar to shichra. It's not exactly the same, but the first two letters are similar enough that that's a good enough mnemonic to be able to remember it. Ravacha Brei Drava, when he would prepare this treatment, when he would prepare this medication, he would grind them all up together. He would take a handful of it, a whole fistful of it, and he'd mix it with whatever liquid it was, and he would drink it like that. But that's the volume that he took. He mixed it, he ground it up all together, took a full fistful, mixed it with the appropriate drink, whether it be wine, whether it be water, whatever the medication was needed for, and he would drink it that way. Rav Ashi shachi kol chad v'chad l'chudei. Rav Ashi had a different way of preparing it. He would grind each ingredient on its own. V'shakum lo etzba'i, Rabasi lo etzba'i zutrasi, and he would take as much as could fit between his big finger and his little finger, meaning he would take a pinch of the item and then mix it with the water and drink it that way. So there are different ways of how to prepare, and this highlights the idea for those who are of the opinion that the refuahs of Chazal do work. It's just that we don't know how to implement them. So this would be a strong way to highlight that idea. The Gemara gave ingredients, gives all the ingredients, doesn't mean you know how to use those ingredients. We had a machlokas in the Amorayim, exactly how those ingredients are supposed to be used. Are they supposed to be ground up separately, ground up together? How much? What, how much of each to take? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Ana avdi l'kol hani v'lo etzai. I tried all these and it didn't work for me. Adam Liotaya, until a certain merchant told me, I see kuza chadita umalya maya, take a brand new jug and fill it up with water, verami be tarvada dudufsha, and put a spoonful of honey in it, to talila be kuchvi, and it has to be honey that was left out overnight, that was left under the stars. Be kuchvi means under the kochavim, out in the yard all night, ulamachar ishti, and then the next day drink it. Avdi Hachi, so he says, I did that vitzai, and that made it better, and then I was able to have a refuah. Again, highlighting the idea that they didn't know how to use it, and he says, I tried this and it didn't work, I tried that, it didn't work. I had to learn from a tayah, from a merchant, who told me exactly how to do it. That's also perhaps not necessarily a raya, but at least a smach to the idea, the fact that they're getting this information from a merchant, that this wasn't information that was received from Ruach HaKodesh or from any sort of deep Torah understanding. It was just based on what the medical knowledge was. So yes, some Arab merchant who happened to have known this cure to this disease. Tanu Rabbanan, Shisha Dvar Merapinus Acholim Mechal Yorfuas Refuah. There are six things that could cure a person from his illness, and the refuah is considered to be a valid refuah. It's considered to be a legitimate refuah. Ve'eluhin, and those six items are the following: Kruv, cabbage; Vitardin, beets; Umesis Nivesha, water of dry pennyroyal; Vikevas and Moa, the hara of an animal, the haras and the womb of an animal, the osaris hakavid and the diaphragm of an animal. And some say small fish also. Velo od and small fish, not only are they on the list of things that provide a refuah, el shadagim ketanim mafrenu marbin kol gufa shel adam. But dagim ketanim are even better. They cause the entire body of a person to be strengthened. Mafren marbin, literally from lashon puruvu, to reproduce. So obviously dagim ketanim, some would say that it causes a person to his body to be able to produce strength and to be able to be reinvigorated when you have dagim ketanim. You find this in a lot of other gemaras and shas also, that dagim ketanim have this unique ability. The gemara in Brachos Daf Mem says someone who's ragil b'dagim ketanim einu bali decholi me'ayin, that if you eat dagim ketanim you're not going to come to any sort of stomach ailment. And then the gemara over there also says in dagim ketanim are mafrenu marbin umavrin gufa shel adam, that they cause a person to be very healthy. Mavrin is lashon of brios, of health. The Gemara Masechta Sota says that b'shas shaholchos lishav mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazmel lehem dagim ketanim. Talks about when the Jews in Mitzrayim, when they would go to draw the water, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would prepare dagim ketanim in the water so that they would have what to eat, so that they would have healthy food to eat to be able to keep them in good health through all the slavery and everything that they were living through. And the Marsha over there says, yeah, dagim ketanim, because dagim ketanim have this unique ability to keep a person healthy. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, Ein ben David ba, ad sheispakish dag lecholav lo yimatzei. Mashiach is going to come when we're able to, when we're trying to look for a fish, for a chola, for a sick person, and we don't find it. So you see that, meaning in times where we give up all hope, where things aren't going well, that's when Mashiach is going to come and save us. So what's the example of things not going well? When we can't find dagim ketanim. So apparently dagim ketanim have this incredible ability to provide refuah. The Bach in Yardeh Sim Kuf Yud Gimel says that it doesn't mean you take fish when they're babies. It means fish that the min is a small fish, that they had full growth. When they get to their full growth, they're still dagim ketanim. They're still dagim ketanim. Okay. There are 10 things that make a person who is sick go back to being sick and makes the sickness even more difficult. Elu hein, and they are the following. Ha'ochel basar shar shuman. So a person eats fatty ox meat. Basar tzli, a person eats roasted meat, barbecues. Basar tziparim, a person eats chicken or any bird meat. Beitza tzluya, a roasted egg. V'shachalim and cress. V'teglachas, a person who shaves. Umerchat, and a person who bathes. So again, we're talking about people in a vulnerable state, that they're just overcoming an illness. So these are things that could upset a person's equilibrium when they're trying to get better. Obviously, a healthy person, many of these things are very good for. We assume that it's a very healthy thing to bathe. Chazal assumed that it was healthy to bathe also, but that not when you're overcoming an illness. Ugavina, because when they bathe, they had incredible heat in their bathhouses, so it could be that the heat would cause them to become faint and would be a problem for them. Ugvina and cheese, v'kavid and liver, v'yeshom af gozim, and some say a gozim as well. V'yeshom af kishuin, and some say also cucumbers. Tanu de Rabbi Yishmael, lama nikra shman kishuin, why are cucumbers called kishuin? V'pnei shein kashin l'kol gufa shalom k'charavos, because they're as bad for the body as swords, as charavos. So that's why kishuin are called kishuin. Fine, period. Now we're done with all the medical stuff. Now we move on to halachic issues again relating to avdik chavim. So the Mishnah had said that when it comes to getting a haircut, a person has to be careful. Ein mistapren mehen, that a person does not get a haircut. It was a Mishnah on Chavzayin Amin Aleph. We saw in Rosh Hashanah that ein mistapren, a person doesn't get a haircut from an avdik chavim. Rameir held anywhere. And the Chachamim said that Berusha Sarabim it's mutter, but not Beino Leveino, just not in private. In private, you can't get a haircut. There's a Tosfos over here that really goes on the Mishnah, Avalo Beino Leveino, that in private the Chachamim say you can't do it, but in Rosh Sarabim it's mutter, says Tosfos, what does it mean in private? Pirish Pemakom Shein Regilin Bnei Adam Kolkach, Ki Eidra Avchana Bishvil Din Arda. It's a situation where there aren't that many people around, like we're going to see a story in our Gemara very soon. Aval B'yichud Mamish? But actually, when you're really all alone with the Ovid Kuchavim, we don't need the Mishnah to tell me that it's Asr to get a haircut when you're all alone with the Ovid Kuchavim, because that's obvious. The Tepeklei Af Belom Estaper Asr L'Siachri Mamishum Shvichus Damim V'chein Yesh L'Farish L'El Gabi Minika. Right, because we already learned that you're not allowed to have Yichud with an Ovid Kuchavim because he's chashud that he's going to murder you. So obviously, when you're not allowed to get a haircut when it's Mamish be Yichud, we don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. So it's telling me that Yichud of that Beino Leveino doesn't mean Yichud. Doesn't mean you're alone. It means someone could walk in at any moment. But it's not a place where there are a lot of people around. And still we're choshed that since he's got a razor in his hand and you're sitting there taking a haircut and you're at his mercy, so as long as anyone's not looking for a second, he'll slit your throat and he'll kill you right there. But when we talk about Yichud, where he doesn't have a razor in his hand and where it's just that you're alone in a room with him, so that would be Asr only if it's Mamish Yichud, where nobody at all is around. Okay, so that's how to understand the Shita of the Chachamim. So it says the Gemara, Ein Mishtapnim B'kal Makom Tan Rabbanan Yisrael Mishtapar Me'ovid Kuchavim Ro'a B'marif. If a Jew is getting a haircut from an Ovid Kuchavim, he should look in a mirror, and that way he'll be able to see what's going on behind him. V'ovid Kuchavim Mishtapar Me'Yisrael, and a non-Jew, an Ovid Kuchavim who's getting a haircut from a Jew, given she'igir le'balariso shomit es yado. If the Jewish barber is giving Ovid Kuchavim a haircut, when he gets to the baloris, which is a hair that they would grow l'shem avodah zara, they would it's a machlokus showed him exactly where this hair would grow. Either it was the top of the head while they shaved the sides of the head, or it was somewhere in the back, but they grew some special hair that they never touched as something for their avodah zarah. And that's, in fact, usher for a Jew to get such a haircut of a baloris, because it's assumed to be an avodah zarah type of haircut. So when the Jewish barber gets to that area, he has to stay away from it. He can't go anywhere near that area because he's not allowed to enhance the appearance of the baloris. Let's go to the first statement first. We said that when a Jew is getting a haircut from a non-Jew, he can look in the mirror and that's okay. Well, what's the case where he's looking in the mirror? If we're talking about in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what do you even need a mirror for? Because the Chum said that in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're allowed to get a haircut from an Ovid Chavim. So what do you even need a mirror for? V'ibur Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Kiro Mayhavi. And if it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, why does a mirror even help? The mirror should be useless. If it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Chum said it's Asr, doesn't make a difference. So you could see, he'll still slit your throat. So answer the Gemara, Liolim Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We're talking about in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, V'kibin Dika Marim Miskazi Kadam Chashuv. But since there's a mirror, he's going to seem like an Adam Chashuv. And when the person seems like an Adam Chashuv, the Ovid Kuchavim is going to be more hesitant to kill him. As we saw before, he's not going to want to mess with the government if he feels that he's giving a haircut to an Adam Chashuv. Why does an Adam Chashuv have a mirror? Because an Adam Chashuv has to care much more about his appearance, because he always appears in front of the Melech. So he says, okay, if this is a Jew that's close to the Melech, I'm not going to go and kill him. So that's what the mirror helps. Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Mistapra Me'ovid Kuchavim B'Shvili D'Narda. There's a story that Rav Chana Bar Bizna was getting a haircut from an Ovid Kuchavim in the alleyways of Narda. And the barber, who is being honest with him, says, Chana, I gotta tell you, it's like your throat is so enticing to my razor. Meaning it's so enticing to want to kill you. I have you at my mercy right here. Amr tasteli davri ad Rameir. So Chana says, you know what? I deserve that threat because I violated what Rameir said. Because Rameir held that you're not allowed to get a haircut from an Ovid Kuchavim. And I violated Rav Meir's idea that you're not allowed to get a haircut from Rav Chavim, so I deserve that threat that the person just gave me. So Frek the Gemara, he only violated Rav Meir's shita. Vad Rabbanan lo avar. He didn't violate the Rabbanan. Eimer damer Rabbanan b'shus haram b'shus yachin miyamer. The Rabbanan only said it's mutter to get a haircut from an Ovid Chavim in b'shus haram in b'shus hayachin. The Rabbanan never allowed it either. So what, he violated the Rabbanan also because he was in b'shus hayachin. He was in the shvili. He was in the alleyways. So who suffers shvili dinadak even the shchichi rabim krusus rabim davu? But he thought an alleyway, since there are enough people that go through there, it should have a din of rishus rabim. Even though it's not technically Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it doesn't have quite as many people as the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he thought it would have a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But it turns out that the Gemara seems to assume that no, that it has a din of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? The Gemara disagrees with him and says that no, it has a din of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, even though there are other people there, like we saw in Tosos before, that the definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid over here is not Yichud. It's not that you're alone. It's just that there are fewer people around than there would be in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now this idea that you use a mirror and then then everything is okay. So if you look at Tosos, Tosos has an important ha'ara about using mirrors. Tosos writes, Yerushalmi Pirkin, he says the Tosefta in the Yerushalmi in our Perek says as follows, Yisrael Mistapar Miovi Kachavim Roa B'mare, that a Jew who's getting a haircut from Miovi Kachavim looks in a mirror, Minakuti Yein Roa B'mare, but if you're getting a haircut from a Kuti, you need not have a mirror there. Pirish, Lefisha Einam Chashudim Al Shrichas Dam, because a Kuti is not suspected of committing murder. Right, he's not suspected of murdering you. And therefore, he tirushal beis Ram Gamliel shiroin b'mara pirushaf min akuti min esha yizukukin l'malchus. But the beis Ram Gamliel, who always had to go visit the melech and had to make sure that their appearance was perfect, even when they were getting a haircut from a kuti, it was mutter for them to go look in a mirror while they were getting the haircut. So what's the big deal? Whether you use a mirror, you don't use a mirror. I understand you may need to use a mirror when you're getting a haircut from Novik Chavim. What's this idea that there were matir, that the beis Ram Gamliel was allowed to use a mirror? What would be the problem? What would be the isser with using a mirror? The implication of the Yerushalmi is that it's only mutter to use a mirror when there's a very strong reason that you need to do so. Either because you're karov l'malchus, or because you're afraid the guy is going to murder you. So mashma sha'asol ish liros b'mara, the implication is that it's usser for a man to use a mirror. And he says, it seems to me that this is part of the Yisra Daraisa of L'Yilbash Kever Simlas Isha, that a man is not allowed to wear feminine clothing, is not allowed to wear a woman's clothing. So it's not only a din in clothing, it's a din in doing anything that's a feminine activity. And looking in the mirror is considered to be something feminine, and that's why the Yerushalmi assumes it's usher for a man to look in a mirror. Fractosvos of the Perek Shaul, but in Mesach Shabbos it says, Ein Roon Bemara B'Shabbos, you're not supposed to look in a mirror on Shabbos and Mufarish B'Gemara, and the Gemara says, Bemara Shal Matechus, we're talking about a mirror that has a sharp edge, that's made out of metal, B'nei Sha'adam Asri La'ashir Banim and Amadul Dalos, because if it has a sharp edge, and you realize when you look in the mirror that you have a little stray hair, you'll just go up to that edge of the mirror and cut off the hair on Shabbos. And that's the reason you're not allowed to look in that mirror on Shabbos. Mash Medavka B'Shabbos, Habachol Shari. But the clear implication of that Gemara is that it's only a Shabbos din, that during the week it's totally mutter, that we're not worried about Liyubash Gever Simla Sisha. So the answer tells us, yeah, it's because who are we talking about in that Gemara? Hasam B'Isha Ayri. Over there we're talking about a woman, that a woman's not supposed to look in a mirror, that if she finds a stray hair, she's going to want to cut it off from it with using the mirror to remove the hair. But a man, obviously, he's never allowed to look in the mirror. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Adam, that an Adam's not allowed to look in the mirror. Doesn't that imply a man? So it tells us, Va'adam lav dafka, de'ish asr b'kal inyin. When it says Adam, it doesn't really mean a man, and a man is always asr to look in a mirror. V'chein mashm b'rishalmi, dem fraish time adein ro'am b'marad, de'pam she'isha ro'a nima achas levana v'tolsha, u'bali de'chiyuv chatas. And the Yerushalmi says explicitly that it's talking about a woman, that the isra of looking in a mirror on Shabbos is about a woman, because a man is going to be asr throughout the week as well. So Yerushalmi is explicit that that din about Shabbos is dafka a din in a woman, because a man anyway is going to be asr. Later on, Tulsa says important qualification. He says, "Umiu enu asr kiyim lisnaos davar mishum liyubash gever." That's only if you're trying to look pretty. If a person is trying to look nice, trying to look beautiful, avalistapru legaleich v'liros b'marash liyechvul ba'atzmo. But a person who's shaving or taking a haircut and just wants to make sure that he doesn't hurt himself, or he has some sort of eye ailment, so vaday mutter ubochin libos hu yodea, then it's mutter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Meaning, we could never punish a person for looking in the mirror, because you could always say, oh, I was only doing it because I thought I was going to hurt myself, or for some other reason, and we'll never know what his real intentions were. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what his real intentions are. So Tulsa seems to take a very hard stand on men looking in a mirror. I have my dentist told me that he has an office in Williamsburg, and he had a Hasidisha patient, a kid, 13, 14-year-old kid, who had cavities all over. It was terrible. The kid obviously didn't know how to brush his teeth. So he wanted to show him, just to teach him how to brush his teeth. So he took a mirror and he put it in front of his mouth, and the kid almost had a heart attack. He jumped out of the chair as if, ah, what are you doing? So he said, well, what did I do? Did I hurt you? He said, no, not allowed to look in the mirror. It's an isser. He didn't explain why. He said, it's also, you can't look in the mirror. So my dentist asked me, is there an isser to look in the mirror? Well, you know, he never heard of that before. I said, yeah, it's Shita Satosos. That's what the Gemara assumes, that, or the Rishonim assume, based on the Gemara, that it's also to look in the mirror. But we paskin. The Ran writes that the halacha is that any time that it's regilin ha'anashim l'stakel b'mar kemo anashim, that any time, any situation, any time and place where men typically look in the mirrors like women do, so you can't call it a feminine activity anymore. If it's something that men do equally in general society, just as much as women do, so then it's not going to be called a feminine activity. Now, probably, men look in the mirror a lot less than women do. So a person who spends an hour in front of the mirror, that's probably called a feminine activity. But to take a quick look in the mirror and see how you look before you go outside, so that's certainly within our society something that's very normal for men to do. Why did there need to be a special heter for the Beis Rabban Gamliel? So the Ran says, yeah, because even in situations where it's mutter, the anashim chashuvim, chaverim, tzadikim, talmidei chachamim, were makbid not to do it. But the Beis Rabban Gamliel, even though they were talmidei chachamim, because they were karv l'malchus, they did it. And that's what the Ramah paskins in Yerodeh Simon Kuf Nun Vav. He says, yesh omrim hada asu liros b'mara, that which we say that it's also to look in a mirror, it's dafka b'makom shein derech liros b'mara rak nashim. It's only where only women look in a mirror, but if and that's why it would be an isra of liyulbash gever. But in the makom where it's the derech for men to look in a mirror as well, so then it's not a violation of liyulbash gever. On a very similar note, and the other heter obviously is what Tosa says, that if there's a reason that you need to see something, like a dentist is showing you how to brush your teeth, it has nothing to do with this nose, has nothing to do with to look beautiful, right? The reason, if there's a reason that you need to do it, then it was never us or in any social setting. It was never a problem on in any point in history. Tosa goes on to say, v'alach l'maisa, what about getting a haircut from an ovid kachavim? Halach l'maisa, da'asu l'stopper me'ovid kachavim elam kin roeh. You're not allowed to get a haircut from an ovid kachavim unless you have a mirror there that you could see. Even in Rosh Hashanah, from the fact that Rav Chana felt that he had it coming to him, that even though Rav Chana thought that the place that he was in was a Rosh Hashanah, he still felt he shouldn't have violated Rav Meir's shita of not even getting a haircut in Rosh Hashanah. So apparently we're not supposed to violate even Rav Meir's shita of getting a haircut in Rosh Hashanah. But also says v'dafka bitar the shchiach be hezeka bekal. That's only if the barber is using a razor, where it's very easy for him to hurt you. Al b'misparayim lo shchiach bu hezeka, but with scissors, where it's not so easy for him to hurt you, shari, then it's going to be mutter im yeshi ma'acher. As long as there's somebody else there, that's going to be okay.
What was the Jewish guy having a razor being used for?
On his hair, just not to shave it all off, but just to cut it closer. So it's a shaila. What are you allowed to do on your head, in terms of cutting? Right on the face, you're not allowed to take a razor directly to the face. But let's say you have a long beard, and you pull out a strand like that, and 3 inches off your face, you take a razor and you slice it. So is that an iser of hashchasas hazakan? Or if you take your hair from your head, or even the peos, and use a razor, but you're leaving plenty of hair, so it's probably not an iser of hakafas harosh, right? So that would have to be, that's what you'd have to say in terms of the razor. Now this isn't the mirror thing. It's not the only issue Shulchan Aruch brings up in terms of feminine activities. Shulchan Aruch says havara seir beis hashechi, shaving armpit hairs where it's obviously something that women do and men don't do, is also an iser of liyulbash gever simlas isha. Interestingly, the Rama says nowadays that men do that too, that's totally okay. But that really depends on the situation. In Tshuva Sholem Eshev, he was asked about the following. A guy had a beard that the way it naturally grew was half of it was white and half of it was black, and it was terribly embarrassing for him because it was like one side of his face was white, the other side was black. So Sholem Eshev said that he's allowed to dye the white side black because the whole list is only Nisid Rabbanan, Kavra Brios Docha, any Yisid Rabbanan, so you can go and you can dye it. And all the other Acharim, Darkei Tshuva and Simon Kuf Pei Beis have cut Yud Zayin, quotes from Maria Ashkenazi, and other Acharim say, what are you talking about? Only Yisid Rabbanan. Liyulvash Gever Simlas Isha means any feminine activity. It's not only about clothing. So you're dealing with a real Yisid Arais, it's a real bona fide Yisid Arais. It's not only an Yisid Rabbanan. You can't just call that an Yisid Rabbanan. So that's what they say, that if you want, if anything, you should take the black side and dye that white. because that's not liyul bashkever simla sisha. A woman would never dye her hair white. A woman would dye her hair, black to look younger. Okay. Anyway, weiter in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Vavikchavim amistam yisrael kivin shigila baloriso shomet es yado." When an avikchavim is getting a haircut from a Jew, so as soon as he gets to the baloris, the Jew should stay away from that area. Vekama, how far away from that area should the Jew avoid cutting? Amar of Malki, Amar of Adbarava, shlosha etzbaos lekal ruach v'ruach. Three etzbaos worth in each direction is how far away he should stay from cutting the area of the balotus. So says the Gemara, who's the one that said that? That was Ravad Barav. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina Breid Ravika Shvud Shvachos. It was Rav Malki on the name of Ravad Barav. So says Rav Chanina Breid Ravika Shvud Shvachos Vegumos Rav Malkiyo. Anytime you have any statement of either Rav Malkiyo or Rav Malkiyo in the Gemara is always quick to make this point. How many? There are three statements of Rav Malkiyo in the Gemara. Three statements of Rav Malkiyo, and it's very easy to get confused. So the way to remember whose statements are whose, so Shvud Shvachos V'gumos, the statement in the Gemara in Maseches Beitza, that a Shvud, that a spit that was used to roast meat on Yontif, that you're not allowed to be metaltel it, that it's Muktza, and Rav Malkiyo came along and said, no, you are allowed to be metaltel it as long as you do with a Shinoi. Shvachos, the din of Maseches Ksuvos, that a woman who's very rich, and she brings into the marriage 100 different shvachos, she has all these maids to do everything she could do, but Rav Malkiyo comes along and says even if she has all those shvachos, she still should do certain basic chores around the house, because batala, a woman who does nothing, leads to very bad things, very bad character traits, and very bad development of who she's going to become. Vigumos, and the idea in Maseches Nida, when we define simane gadlus, what makes a person a gadol, so we know shtei sa'aros makes a person a gadol, and the Mishnah there says shtei saros, as long as they come out of clear gumos, they come out of pores that allow for the growth of those shtei saros. And Rav Malkiyo says, even if you have just the gumos and not the hairs, that's also good enough. That's also good enough to be considered a gadol. Those are all simane gadlus. But anyway, all three of those statements were of Malkiyo. Baloris, the statement about staying three etzbaos away from the baloris when you're giving a haircut, which is our Gemara. Efer makla, the idea that when you have a wound, you shouldn't take ashes from the oven and put it in the wound, because it's likely to leave a permanent black mark. It's going to look like a tattoo. Ugvina, and the idea that we're going to say later on in this perek that Rav Malkiya says that the reason you're not allowed to have gvina sakum is because they smear it with lard. They smear the gvina, the cheese, with lard. So that's all those statements are of Malkiya. So that's how you know those, the first three are of Malkiyo, the second three are of Malkiya. I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, it's different. Masnisinu masnisa Rav Malkiya. Any statement on a Mishnah or a Braisa is Rav Malkiya. Shmaitza Rav Malkiyo. Any statement that's purely on an Amoraic level, that's Rav Malkiyo. The Simana, and the Simon to remember it, Masnisa Malkisa. The Simon to remember it is that the Mishnah is queen. What does it mean the Mishnah is queen? It means in comparison to Amorayim, as Rashi points out, when you have Mishnayos, they're more powerful than statements of Amorayim. We ask on Amorayim from Mishnayos and Braisos. So therefore, that's the way to remember it. Malkiya is the statements on the Mishnah. And the way to remember it is Malchisa. Malkiya is a feminine, more feminine name than Malkiyo, right? It has a more feminine ring to it than Rav Malkiyo, and therefore you remember that the queen is Malkiya, is Masnisa, is the statements on the Mishnah. My Binai, what's the difference whether you gave the original list or you say that Masnisa Malkisa, which item has to switch over? Ika Binai is Shvachos, it's where you would put Shvachos. That originally we said Shvachos was Rav Malkiyo, but the statement about Shvachos was in fact going on a Mishnah, and therefore it should be Rav Malkiya if you hold like Rav Papa. Fine, that's just straightening out who said what. Says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. This is like the bulk of the Halacha L'maisa of our Masechta is in the next 10 blot or so, and then again at the very end of the Masechta. The following things of Ovdei Kochavim are Asur, and they're even Asur Ba'ana'a. Hayayin, wine of an Ovdei Kochavim, V'achomet Shalov D'Kochavim Shayim Etchilaso Yayin, and vinegar of an Ovdei Kochavim that originally was wine, meaning if he had it when it was wine, he didn't buy it as vinegar from a Jew. He had it when it was wine, even though it has since turned to vinegar. It's asur b'ana'a for a Jew. The cheres hadaryani, daryani type of pottery. va'orus levuvin, and hides of an animal that had the heart area cut out. One of the avodas they would do for an avodah zara is what they would do to the animals. They would cut out the skin right around the heart and remove the heart from the animal. So if you see the animal hide and it has a big hole right by where the heart is, so then you know that it was probably used for avodah zara. It's only if it's a circular tear in the hide of the animal. Mashuch mutter, but if it's a slit, then it's mutter, because apparently they wouldn't cut it that way when they were doing the avodah zara. Basar hanichnas la'avodas kochavim mutter. If you see meat going in to an area of avodah zara, so then it's going to be mutter because it wasn't yet used. Vayotze asr, but coming out is asr. Neshu kizif chemesim, because then you could assume it's basar from a karba that was used for avodah zara. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva shita. Haholchin l'tarpos asr lasis lasis iman va'abayin mutarin. If people are going to a certain avodah zara convention or whatever, on their way in, you're not allowed to do business with them. But when they're returning, when they're leaving that area, you are allowed to do business with them, because on their way in, you might give them something that they're going to be able to use for avodah zara. On their way out, they're already done with the avodah zara, so then it's mutter to do business with them. Nodos hov de kochav mekan kanehen. If you have leather jugs or cheres pottery jugs of avodah kochavim, v'yayin shel Yisrael kanos ben, and you keep wine, your wine, in their jugs, asuran v'yisuran isra na divrei Meir. Meir says your wine becomes asur, and even asur b'hana'a. V'cham amrim ein yisuran isra na. V'cham say, no, it doesn't become asur b'hana'a. Hachartzanim v'azagin shel avodah kochavim. Grape seeds and grape peels of avodah kochavim, asurin v'yisuran isra na divrei Meir. Meir holds their asur, and it's even isra na. V'cham amrim lachna asurin yaveshin mutarin. V'cham say, no, only if they're moist it's asur, if they're dry it's mutter. Hamurias ugvinas besu naiki shel avodah kochavim. Murias, which Rashi says is fish oil, and gvina, cheese from Beis Unaiki shall of the Kavim, Asuran vi Isuran Isra na de Rameir. Rameir says it's Asur even Bana. Vacham Rom Rain Isuran Isra na. Vacham say no, it's not Asur Bana. Am Rabbi Yuda Shal Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Shua Kshayim Halchim B'derech. Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Shua when they were traveling, Am Lom Ne Maasur Gvinas of the Kavim, why did they make Gvinas Sakum Asur? Am Lom Ne Shamidin Osa Bekeva Shal Nevel. I mean, what's wrong with non-Jewish cheese? So he said, no, the problem was the rennet they would use to be mamed the cheese in order to make cheese. You can't just take milk. You have to put rennet in the milk to make it turn, to make it curdle, and to turn it into cheese. So the rennet that they would use is rennet of a nevela. Amrlova lo kevas ola chamur mi kevas nevela. He says, wait a second, but a kevas ola should be even more strict than kevas nevela, because we know that ola in general is asur b'hana'a, and it's an isra of me'ila to get any hana'a from an ola. And still we say va'amr kohen shadaitu yafas sarfa chaya, that a kohen can stomach it. He could take the keva of an ola, the carbon ola, and swallow it if he wants. And even though the Chacham disagreed with that, but they still held it's only in a Siddur Rabbanon for the Kohen to do that. They held that Midah Raisa, it's totally mutter for the Kohen to go and take the keva of the Karbanola. So if you hold Midah Raisa, it's totally mutter, so why should the fact that Ma'amidin be kevas nevela be a problem? If kevas ola is mutter, kevas nevela should be mutter. So Amar Lo, Mnei Shamidin also be kevas egle avodas kochavim. Now it's not just that they use the rennet of a nevela, it's that we're afraid they're going to use the rennet of an avodah zara animal, and that's why we don't eat their cheese. Amar lo im kein lama lo asru b'hana. So he said, okay, if that's the case, why isn't it asur b'hana? If you're afraid that they're really using a legitimate bona fide avodah zara, so you see with davar acher, he changed the topic. The Gemara will discuss how do you do that. They ask you a legitimate question in your shita, so you just change the topic to try to avoid the question. So Amar lo, and he says, okay, let me ask you something else. Yishmal heichat akari, how do you read the pasuk? Kitovim dodecha miyayin or kitovim dodayich? How do you read that word? Is it dodecha or dodayich? In the masculine or the feminine? Amarlo, kitovim dodayich. He says it's kitovim dodayich. Amarlo, ena davarkein. He says, no, you're wrong. Shari chaveru malamid alav, because you just have to look at the other part of the pasuk. L'reach shmanecha tovim. Pasuk says l'reach shmanecha, not shmanayich. So you see that it's a masculine, so it must be dodecha, not dodayich. So that's the discussion. Some of the achronim are bothered. They didn't know pasuk. They didn't know how to read a pasuk. That afil tinokas shel beis rabban ha'yodin. So some of the achronim point out that you find that a lot of times they didn't even know what the words of the pesukim. There were variances in the texts of the words of the pesukim, and al pi rov they had to be kaveh what our mesora is. They took the various texts and they studied them, and they were kaveh al pi rov what the legitimate girsa is in the different pesukim. So it's not so crazy that they didn't know the exact nekudas. Not so. So troubling. Tshuvas Rivash discusses this in Siman Resh Pei Dalet. So this whole discussion of cheese is going to be an interesting discussion in the halacha, because what if you know for sure that the rennet that they use is not animal rennet at all, it's vegetable rennet? So all the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rambam, several Rishonim say, even if you know Bibiru, you know Bivadai, that they're not using animal rennet, they're using Esev, Prachim, whatever it is, some type of plant rennet, still it's going to be Asur because it's a Dover Sheba Minyan. The Chacham Morgozer, Givina Sakam, and once it's a Dover Sheba Minyan, you need a Minyan Acher La'atiro, and the Minyan Acher needs to be a Bezen that's Gadol B'Chacham of Minyan. We don't have a basin like that that's called the B'chachm Minyan, so we can't be matarit. Says Gemara, Yayin Minolan. How do I know that Yayin is Asurbana, that the Yayin of a guy is Asurbana? Amra Baravu Amakra, Pasuk says, Shachal Zvachemi Ochelu, Yishtu Yayin Nesecham, Yishtu Yayin Nesicham. Ma Zevach Asurbana, so we see we compare the Yayin to a Zevach. Just like their Karbanos are Asurbana, their Zevach to Avodah Zarah is Asurbana, Af Yayin Nami Asurbana, so their wine is also Asurbana. Tosus says, we really need to ask this kasha, why is Yayin Asur? And as if we need to find the pasuk. We're talking about Stam Yenam over here. Stam Yenam is only Nisid Rabbanan. There's no pasuk for Nisid Rabbanan. You don't need to find a pasuk to tell me Nisid Rabbanan. So Tulsa says, no, what we're clearly assuming is that the reason they asked for Midra Rabbanan is because there exists a Nisid Midaraisa on Yayin Nesach in general. So we're looking for the Isser that how do we know Yayin Nesach is Asur Banan? We're looking for the Isser Daraisa that serves as the precedent upon which we build the Yisid Rabbanan. So Zevach Gufei Minalan, so good, we said we learned it from Zevach. Where do we know that a Zevach itself is Aser? Tichsiv Yitzmadu Valpar Vayochu Zivchei Mesim. So we see a Zevach is compared to a Mes. Ma Mes Aser Bana, Zevach Nami Aser Bana. Just like a dead body is Aser Bana, so too a Zevach is Aser Bana. Big discussion we showed him, dead body Aser Bana, is that only a Jewish dead body? Or even a non-Jewish dead body? Major discussion we showed him. Umes Gufei Minalan, how do I know that a Mes is Aser Bana? Asya Sham Sham Egla Rufa. We learned that from Egla Rufa. Ksivach at Zerishav, Ksivach of Atamas Sham Miriam, Uksifasam Va'arfu Sham Esagla Benachal. So you see that just like the Egla Rufa is Asubana, so to a dead body is Asubana. Malalan Asubana, Kanami Asubana. Frakta Gemara, okay, but still, Vahasa Minalan. How do you know that Egla Rufa is Asubana? You still haven't proved that point. So Amri Dibir Rabiyane, Kaparik Sivba Kakachim. Because it says the Alash of Kapara in regards to Egla Rufa, like Kachim, and we know that Kachim is Asubana, that's how we know that Egla Rufa is Asubana. Tulsus points out, Tema, Perakam, the Krisis, Tarshin, Va'orfu, Sham, Sham, Tek, Vurasa. The Gemara Mesech Krisis is a whole different limud for how we know that Egla Rufa is Asubana. Because it says, Va'orfu, Sham, Sham, Tek, Vurasa, you need to bury it right there on the spot. Obviously, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. So why does our Gemara have to say, Kaparik, Sivba, Kachim? So Tulsus says, we need both limudim. V'yeshlomar, Distrik, Tarvayu, Dimishum, Dixiv, Kapara, Armin, Laach, had it just said kapara, I would have said it's also about up until the arifa. But once you actually do the procedure of the arifa segla, then it would become mutter. Because normally, once the mitzvah is done with something, now it becomes mutter. And had I only had the pasuk in Maseches Krisus that the Maseches Krisus quotes va'arfu sham that sham take v'rasa, I would say it's only after it's dead that it's also about na. That's why I need our pasuk to tell me that it's also when it's alive. So between the two pesukim, you learn that it's also b'na before it dies, and it's also b'na after you kill it as well. Okay, we'll stop there. But tomorrow we'll pick up from the two dots. Okay, shorter shir tomorrow because it's 6 o'clock.